Certainly, we are a people that are connected to our technology. Here's the picture of the modern family around the table, everyone on their computer or phone or tablet. But we're always being entertained, whether it be TV or movies, whether it be internet browsing of our favorite websites, whether it be some on Twitter and blogs, whether it's social media like Facebook, whether it's Pinterest, whether it's Netflix or Nintendo Wii or Xbox 360, PlayStation, iPhones, iPads, and tablets and our smartphones, we are always being entertained. And tonight I'd like for us to consider the effects of entertainment on our time, on our mind, and thirdly, on our influence. Number one, on our time. In Acts chapter 24, in verse 25, from the New American Standard Bible, we read, "But as he was discussing," as Paul was discussing, "righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, 'Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you.'" Isn't that the common cry of our own generation? I don't have time. And yet we all get the same time. Each of us gets the exact number of days, hours, and minutes of every week. And yet we constantly say, I don't have time. I just don't have time. You consider the television watching statistics for the year 2012, and the average time spent watching television per day in the U.S. is 5 hours. The years that the average person will have spent watching TV is 9 years. Now that's 78,840 hours in total, the equivalent of. Have you heard of the 23rd channel? The TV is my shepherd. My spiritual growth shall want. It makes me to sit down and do nothing for his name's sake. It requires all my spare time. It keeps me from doing my Christian duty. It produces so many good shows that I must see. It restores my knowledge of the world. It keeps me from the study of God's Word. It leads me in the path of failing to attend worship and doing nothing for the kingdom of God. Yea, though I live to be 100 years old, I shall view my TV as long as it works. It seems to be my closest companion. Its sounds and pictures, they comfort me. It provides entertainment for me and keeps me from doing important things with my family. It fills my head with ideas which differ from God's will. Surely, because of all the wasted hours, there will be a lack of reward at the gates of heaven. I shall not dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 or Channel 23, which is yours? But again, I don't have time. You know, that doesn't include internet usage. That's just television. You see, at least with television, there's a natural stopping point. But that's not true of the internet. You get on there and say, well, I'm just going to check my email. Oh, I wonder what the weather is going to be like tomorrow. Well, look who posted on Facebook. And who else posted on Facebook? And then you check out the news and maybe the sports. And before you know it, 1, 2, 3 hours even have passed. And yet we say, I just don't have time. I can think of too many nights. I've gone to bed where I said to myself, well, I didn't have time to do my Bible reading today. Well, I didn't have time to make those phone calls that I had intended to make. Well, I didn't have time to make those visits to the nursing home, to those individuals that really could use a visit and some encouragement. But I can't think of too many times when I've gone to bed and said, I just didn't have time to watch television today, or I just didn't have time to check my email today. We must admit the effects of entertainment on our time. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll notice with me please, in verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. The Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus writes, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Making the most of your time. The ESV renders it, making the best use of the time. But Paul clearly speaks here to the value of our time. We must rescue our time and use it for good pursuits and use it to the glory of God. You know, I realize that we all need some downtime, we all need some leisure time, but our problem is that our leisure time often turns into lazy time. And lazy time becomes too much of the time. Would you consider 5 hours a day of TV watching as redeeming the time? Would you say 9 years of watching television is making the best use of your time, my time? A companion passage to this found in Colossians chapter 4. Please notice Colossians 4. Where Paul says to the saints in Colossae, "Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time." The NIV says, "Make the most of every opportunity." You stop and ponder that divine truth. Make the most of every opportunity, and then apply that to our subject tonight, the effects of entertainment. Shouldn't we be a people who are watching and waiting for the Lord? The Bible says we should be. The Bible says, Jesus says, that's exactly what we should be doing as His people. We must always be sober and alert. In Matthew 24 and verse 42 beginning, He says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into." Verse 44, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." Talking about watching and viewing things, shouldn't we be a people who are watching and waiting for the Lord? Shouldn't we be those who are watching out for lost souls who are in need of the Savior? As we studied on Sunday morning from Matthew chapter 9, Jesus declared, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And yet, we seem to find plenty of time for entertainment, but not for the lost and dying souls all around us. Jesus said in John 4:35 to His disciples, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white unto harvest." Again, a common objection as to why we're not being evangelistic is, I don't have time for that. That's Andy's job anyways, right? That's the preacher's job. It is his job, but it's your job too. Well, perhaps instead of watching one thing, we could be watching out for those who are lost. When a certain preacher moved to the Washington, D.C. area many years ago, he understood it to be a difficult field to convert the lost. Many of his friends tried to talk him out of moving there, but he went anyway. The first year, he baptized between 12 and 15 individuals. The second year, he had similar results. And everyone, of course, wanted to know what his secret was. How is it that you are converting people in a place that has been so difficult to do that in times past? And he said, "Well, I tell you, it's very easy. I just conditioned myself to feel guilty sitting at home at night watching television. There you go. He turned off the TV and went out and started having Bible studies. Souls, lost souls, were converted to Christ. And I'll tell you what scares me to death. I feel like sometimes that I've conditioned myself not to feel guilty sitting at home at night, watching television, surfing the internet. Can we be honest, brethren, and acknowledge that our entertainment does affect our time? Time with our family, time with God's Word, where we're not meditating in it day and night, Psalm 1:2. Time in prayer, as we're told to pray without ceasing, and perhaps we're getting too close to ceasing to pray. Not ceasing to use our entertainment, but maybe ceasing to pray or close to it. Entertainment affects our time. Time with our family, time with God's in God's Word, time in prayer, time to go out and visit those who are weak and struggling maybe with their faith. And then they need brethren who are aware of that and care about that and go to them and spend time with them and study with them and go visit the sick, James 1:27. Time to convert the lost, Mark 16:50. Secondly, entertainment has an effect on our minds. Because how we think is going to determine how we live. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So a man is. And in Romans 12, verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the," notice, "the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You sow a thought and you reap a word. You sow a word and you reap an action. You sow an action and you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny. But it all starts right here. It starts with the mind. As Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." Don't you see that if a 30-second commercial can sell us on some product, boy, I got to have that. That a 30-minute sitcom can sell us on a lifestyle or at least desensitize us to some ungodly things. You look at our culture and the words and phrases that are popular among people are things that we first heard on television, much of that. They have an influence on us. They start in our mind and they become a part of our vocabulary and they become a part, if we're not very careful, of our character. I want to read to you a few excerpts from the motion picture code that was used in making televisions and movies in our country from the years 1930 to 1966. Okay, I'm going to read to you again a few excerpts from the motion picture code used in making television and movies in our country from the years 1930 to 1966. "The sanctity of the institution of marriage and the home shall be upheld. Pictures shall not infer that low forms of the sex relationship are the accepted or common thing. Adultery, sometimes necessary plot material, must not be explicitly treated or justified or presented attractively. Sex perversion or any inference to it is forbidden. Obscenity in word, gesture, reference, song, joke, or by suggestion, even when likely to be understood only by part of the audience, is forbidden. Dances suggesting or representing sexual actions or indecent passions are forbidden. Dances which emphasize indecent movements are to be regarded as obscene. If only some of our own brethren had that same code. The technique of murder must be presented in a way that will not inspire imitation. Brutal killings are not to be presented in detail. The use of firearms should be restricted to the essentials. Methods of crime should not be explicitly presented. The basic dignity and value of human life shall be respected and upheld. Pointed profanity, this includes, it says, the words God, Lord, Jesus, Christ, unless used reverently, or every other profane or vulgar expression, however used, is forbidden. No picture shall be produced that will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Hence, the sympathy of the audience should never be thrown to the side of crime, wrongdoing, evil, or sin. Correct entertainment raises the whole standard of a nation. Wrong entertainment lowers the whole living conditions and moral ideals of a race. If motion pictures present stories that will affect the lives for the better, they can become the most powerful force for the improvement of mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, pictures in our country used to conform to those standards. And we say, my, how times have changed. We don't even have commercials that are held to those standards anymore. And we think about shows that we watch as a family, and we think about when we grew up, our parents would have never have let us watch those shows, and now all of a sudden, they're not all that bad. And so it's not just the standards that have changed, but our own standards that have changed as to what is acceptable and what is unacceptable entertainment. Consider with me Psalm 101, verse 3. Next time you sit down to watch something on television, sit down with your family to view some show or movie. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Next time you sit down in front of your computer, your laptop, get your tablet out, or your smartphone, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. That'll be a good passage to slap right there on our flat screen television or our computer. Psalm 119, verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. How many worthless things are on television? How many worthless things are out there on the World Wide Web? Endless. We must be very, very, very careful and cautious. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, these passages coming from the New King James Version. Paul said to these saints, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Let me ask you something. Is it possible to have your mind set on things above when your television is set on things below? I hope the answer is obvious. Can we do that? Oh, I forgot. It doesn't affect us, right? That doesn't affect me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Friends, if you were to take out a sheet of paper and just list all those words from verse 8, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy, would you be able on the other side of the piece of paper to plug in your favorite television show next to those words? Tell me, which one is lovely? Which one's praiseworthy? Which one's virtuous? You see, it affects our minds. Whoever came up with the idea that it's all right, it's okay to watch what we want to watch as long as we send out the children first. As long as we send them upstairs or downstairs, send them to their rooms, then we can watch whatever we want to watch. Often TV shows or movies may say that the following is not suitable for children. My question is, well, is it suitable for Christians? Is it suitable for those who are to be holy in all their conduct? That are to be holy as God is holy? Is that going to help us set our mind on things above and meditate on things where Christ is? Someone might say, well, I understand what you're saying, preacher. But some of that's funny. It's funny. Let me ask you, you think the Lord's laughing? When homosexuality is displayed in so many of these shows as something funny, is that not still a sin that nailed Jesus to the cross? When children are so disrespectful to their parents, is that something that's funny? Something we want our children to see and encourage them? When marriage is betrayed as something that's rather inconvenient instead of something that's holy and undefiled, is that funny? When the husband and the father is so often betrayed as a clueless, incompetent fool, is that really funny? It does affect us. It affects our society. And I want you to know that entertainment affects our minds when we come to worship. It does. Entertainment affects our minds when we come to worship because all of a sudden we think because we're entertained all day long that the worship service needs to focus more on the package and the presentation than the content. All of a sudden, if it's not done with a style that is compatible to our desires, then it becomes rather stale and boring to us. Instead of asking, what do I put into it, we focus all our attention on, what do I get out of it? But entertainment affects our worship. God says, Jesus said, God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Our children become accustomed, though, to being entertained, don't they? Oh, they do. They can go from the TV in the living room to the TV in the van, to the tablet, to the smartphone, one thing to the next, to the computer. And if we're not very careful with our parenting, then they're going to expect it when we assemble for worship. So we bring games and toys to keep them, watch it now, entertained. I've seen it where parents have brought a basket full of toys. And the kids are down in the floor between the pews and they're just playing. Well, I mean, at least we're keeping them entertained and they're more quiet this way. Instead of training them that we're coming here to worship God and they need to learn to sit still and to be quiet. And when they're not, they need to be disciplined and guided in the right way with love and instruction that we're coming before God's presence with reverence. We're studying His holy word. We're remembering His only begotten Son who gave His life on the cross for our sins. We're giving of our means cheerfully. We're approaching God, the throne of God in prayer. We're singing praises to God. We're not coming here to play. We're not coming here to be entertained. At least I hope not. And with the common use today of our smartphones, with the iPhones, the iPads, the tablets, and yes, kids have them as well, there is a certain temptation, is there not, to misuse those devices when we come together for Bible study and worship? Now, they can be used as our Bibles, and I know many brethren do, and that's fine. I'm kind of old school. I'm going to stay old-fashioned here, but that's fine. As long as they're being used as your Bible, that's good. And there's a lot of there's pros to that. There's pluses to having that, and Bible study tools right there at the ready on the phone. I've had brethren who have come to my assistance in a Bible class. Just look something up real quick. Boom, there it is. So I get that. But there's also the temptation of using them to check our email, to send text messages, to play games, to check our Facebook page, go to Pinterest, to check the score of some game that we maybe wish we were home watching but had to come to services. And yes, adults and children have been guilty of such during worship. I've seen it. Other brethren have seen it. And no, it wasn't their Bible that was open. And so entertainment, yes, it even affects our worship. And we need to be very aware and conscientious of such. Dads, moms, elders, gospel preachers. Thirdly, entertainment has an effect on our influence. It affects your influence on your family. What example are you setting? What example are we setting for our spouse in the area of entertainment? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, "For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." What does this have to do with entertainment? Why did I pick this passage? Oh. Who's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home? Husbands. The father. We must take the lead when it comes to the entertainment that is not only before ourselves and before our spouse, but before our children. But what example are we setting for our spouse in the area of entertainment as the spiritual leaders of our homes? We need to ask ourselves that and contemplate that very soberly. What example are we setting for our children in the realm of entertainment? The wise men said, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." You think about the entertainment that you allow your children to view and watch and how much you allow them to do that, even if it's not something, hopefully, that's ungodly, but how much time do we allow? Are we really training that child up in the way he or she should go spiritually in the realm of entertainment? What do they see us watching, by the way? What example are we setting? How much time do they see us waste on such things, and how much time do we allow them to waste on such things? Is there any time limit? Is there any parameters that we set before them? And brethren, what habits will they form as a result and later take with them into their future homes? Ezekiel 16 and verse 44, we read, "Indeed, everyone who quotes Proverbs will use this proverb against you, like mother, like daughter." And of course, we might add, like father, like son. We definitely, of course, have an influence on our children and our home, and we certainly do in the realm of entertainment. Do we not? Do you know what we need today in our homes? We need the same courage and conviction of Joshua of old. We need to say, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Or we might express it tonight in this way, "Choose for yourselves your entertainment, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let us follow in the steps of Joshua. And no matter what everyone else is deciding and watching and viewing and doing in their homes and outside of their homes in regards to entertainment, it doesn't change what we have decided to do as a family striving to please God. We will set no worthless or wicked thing before our eyes. Rather, we will serve the Lord righteously and faithfully. And of course, we must always be mindful of our influence upon those in this world. Right? As citizens of the kingdom, Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, that we are salt to the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, what? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Too many instances we've lost our flavor and our effectiveness in this wicked and sinful world in many realms, but in the realm of entertainment. He says, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are we letting our light shine in the realm of entertainment? Can we honestly, with a clear, good conscience, say we are doing that before our family, but also before the world? Are we really being that salt to the earth? Are we being that bright, shining light? Do they see our good works, or do they see works that are very similar to their works? And activities, very similar to their activities. As Paul said to the saints in Philippi, in Philippians 2:15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Yes, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, and much of that is in the realm of entertainment. And in that realm, as difficult and challenging as it may be, we must shine as lights in this world. You know, I understand that all these forms of entertainment and communication can be used for good. They certainly can. With them, we can take the gospel to places that it has not gone before. We can stay connected to one another, that at any time we can say something uplifting to our brethren, that we're praying for them, that we're thinking about them. It's amazing the evil that something like Facebook can be used for, but the good that it can be used for. How quickly that brethren all across this world can know about some brother or sister or family's need, and so many prayers going up before the throne of God. Individual, for that family. The Bible discussions that can take place, the people that can be taught the gospel, that you can do FaceTime, you can use Skype and study with people from all over the world. That I can be in my office in my home in Baytown, Texas, and be studying with someone from the book of Romans up in New York. That I can fill in for a preacher friend from Moldova who came back to the States and be teaching brethren I've never met over Moldova through Skype. It's amazing. Modern day technology and entertainment, that communication, how, yes, it can be used for good. But you see how creative the devil is in taking something useful for good and turning it into a channel of slavery and evil. And finally, please be careful to keep in mind the following three scriptures. Whenever and whatever you watch television or a movie, browse the internet, get on Facebook and so on. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. Let that sink in. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. No one else may be able to see what I'm watching or viewing right now. Not even my wife or my children. Not the elders, not the preacher. Even if that's true, the eyes of the Lord do. And he ponders all his past. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews 4 and verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Something we should never, ever lose sight of. I'm going to stand before my Savior. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to give an account to Him for everything I've done in this life, in this body, whether good or bad, and yes, in the realm of entertainment. And to me, that's a sobering, and maybe it's sometimes scary thought. And maybe we need to repent of some entertainment, forms of entertainment that we've allowed into our lives, into our minds, and our homes. But the various forms of entertainment today are a clear and present threat to our families. Don't be deceived into thinking it doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my family. Because entertainment has a tremendous effect on our time, on our mind, and yes, on our influence. Thank you again for being here tonight and for your kind attention. Hope these things have been helpful to you. If I stepped on your toes, I stepped on mine first. We just read from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, as well as referenced 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. But there's a God, an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God to whom we must give account. Let's think about that right now, each one of us, whether you've obeyed the gospel or not. That's a reality. We have an appointment with death, and then we have an appointment with judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Are you ready for those appointments? If death were to come tonight or tomorrow, in the present spiritual condition you are in, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? Would you be ready to stand before Almighty God and give an account? If not, this is the opportunity that you need to redeem. Remember, redeem the time? This is it. This is it. And so, consider your soul's condition. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, why not tonight? All things are ready. If your heart is. If you're ready to yield your heart and your will to the Lord who loves you so much, He died for you and wants you to spend eternity with Him in heaven, then believe in Him that He is the Christ, the Son of God, John 3:16, that you might not perish but have everlasting life. Repent. God commands all men to repent. Why? Acts 17:30, 31, because there is a day of judgment coming. And so repent. Turn from your sins. Turn to God. Do His will, not your own. And confess with your mouth unashamedly the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead. These are things you must do to be saved, the Bible says, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And you must be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38. Your sins will be washed away, Acts 22:16. You'll be raised to walk in newness of life, not before baptism, but after, Romans 6, 3 and 4. But the decision is yours. We hope you'll make the best decision you can possibly make, and that's to become a child of God. If you are a child of God, but there's some kind of sin in your life, whether in the realm that we've addressed tonight or some other area of your life, then repent immediately and make things right with God. Be ready. Be ready for death. Be ready for the Lord's coming. Be ready for judgment, that you may be received into heaven for all eternity, because you're a child of God. You're a faithful child of God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, would you make that known, please, as together we stand and we sing? It's the grandest.